A friend who was brought up a Jew and still observes the Sabbath and other Jewish customs out of loyalty to his heritage describes himself as a tooth fairy agnostic. He regards God as no more probable than the tooth fairy. You can't disprove either hypothesis, and both are equally improbable. He is an atheist to exactly the same large extent that he is an a-fairyist, and agnostic about both to the same small extent. Russell's teapot, of course, stands for an infinite number of things whose existence is conceivable and cannot be disproved. That great American lawyer Clarence Darrow said, "I don't believe in God as I don't believe in Mother Goose." The journalist Andrew Muller is of the opinion that pledging yourself to any particular religion is no more or less weird than choosing to believe that the world is rhombus-shaped and borne through the cosmos in the pincers of two enormous green lobsters called Esmeralda and Keith. A philosophical favourite is the invisible, intangible, inaudible unicorn, disproof of which is attempted yearly by the children at Camp Quest.
Camp Quest takes the American institution of the summer camp in an entirely admirable direction. Unlike other summer camps that follow a religious or scouting ethos, Camp Quest, founded by Edwin and Helen Kagan in Kentucky, is run by secular humanists, and the children are encouraged to think skeptically for themselves while having a very good time with all the usual outdoor activities.
A popular deity on the internet at present, and as undisprovable as Yahweh or any other, is the flying spaghetti monster who, many claim, has touched them with his noodly appendage. I'm delighted to see that the Gospel of the Flying Spaghetti Monster has now been published as a book, to great acclaim. I haven't read it myself, but who needs to read a gospel when you just know it's true? By the way, it had to happen. A great schism has already occurred, resulting in the Reform Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. The point of all these way-out examples is that they are undisprovable, yet nobody thinks the hypothesis of their existence is on an even footing with the hypothesis of their non-existence. Russell's point is that the burden of proof rests with the believers, not the non-believers. Mine is the related point that the odds in favour of the teapot, spaghetti monster, Esmeralda and Keith, unicorn, etc., are not equal to the odds against. The fact that orbiting teapots and tooth fairies are undisprovable is not felt by any reasonable person to be the kind of fact that settles any interesting argument. None of us feels an obligation to disprove any of the millions of far-fetched things that a fertile or facetious imagination might dream up. I have found it an amusing strategy, when asked whether I'm an atheist, to point out that the questioner is also an atheist when considering Zeus, Apollo, Amun-Ra, Mithras, Baal, Thor, Wotan, the Golden Calf, and the Flying Spaghetti Monster. I just go one god further.
All of us feel entitled to express extreme scepticism to the point of outright disbelief, except that in the case of unicorns, tooth fairies, and the gods of Greece, Rome, Egypt, and the Vikings, there is, nowadays, no need to bother. In the case of the Abrahamic God, however, there is a need to bother, because a substantial proportion of the people with whom we share the planet do believe strongly in his existence. Russell's teapot demonstrates that the ubiquity of belief in God, as compared with belief in celestial teapots, does not shift the burden of proof in logic, although it may seem to shift it as a matter of practical politics. That you cannot prove God's non-existence is accepted and trivial, if only in the sense that we can never absolutely prove the non-existence of anything. What matters is not whether God is disprovable, he isn't, but whether his existence is probable. That is another matter. Some undisprovable things are sensibly judged far less probable than other undisprovable things. There's no reason to regard God as immune from consideration along the spectrum of probabilities. And there is certainly no reason to suppose that just because God can be neither proved nor disproved, his probability of existence is 50%. On the contrary, as we shall see.
Noma. Just as Thomas Huxley bent over backwards to pay lip service to completely impartial agnosticism, right in the middle of my seven-stage spectrum, theists do the same thing from the other direction, and for an equivalent reason. The theologian Alistair McGrath makes it the central point of his book, Dawkins's God, Genes, Memes, and the Origin of Life. Indeed, after his admirably fair summary of my scientific works, it seems to be the only point in rebuttal that he has to offer, the undeniable but ignominiously weak point that you cannot disprove the existence of God.